Well, here we are, but 7 years later. This is no video. I'm not doing videos. That was too much stress. Too much. And besides that, I have done this particular subject before. So if you want the vim and the vigor of my earlier sounding youth, then you can go back and find this same subject. Might be done differently. I haven't listened to it myself for a long time, but it goes back to 2010. So we're looking at it 7 years later. So if you want an older guy who's got 7 years behind that thing, probably better understands the need of this subject and the importance of this subject and the value behind this particular subject. But now, well, here I are. This is mostly what the website's about anyway. You know, the sermons from an aging or an older person's basket of experience of years, I guess, since I first preached these things. Been there, done that, fought for that, lived through that, hoping that maybe I can say a little of what Paul says when he says at the end of his ministry, here's what he said in Timothy, "But watch thou on all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered," and I don't believe I'm ready to be offered, not even close, because I really haven't done what I should be doing for him. "And the time of my departure is at hand." I will have a chance to say that someday, I suppose. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I really hope when it's time for me to finally go, you know, the time for my departure," I like that, departure, not just when you die, but it's our departure. And so, what a good way to put that, isn't it? Your departure. I just hope that you and I, or we can say, well, you know, we fought a good fight. It was there. We did it. We stood up for it. We didn't fall back as such, and we finished what we needed to do. Paul finished what he needed to do, and he kept the faith. Now, we're not supposed to imitate Paul, so don't think you have to live the life that Paul lived, but we can know that we're going to go through what he went through if we stand up for the truth, and we all know that. So let's get going here. But now, here we are today, but now. So in spite of all those things that we now have in our past, many of us out here on this website, we now have a past. When we first got into this stuff, it was a present. We had very little past with Paul. But now we've got a number of years of past, and most of us are still in the present. And if we all live long enough, we still have a future. And that includes, here's my list, trials from family, friends, pastors, church folks, the business, the jobs, neighbors, the news and the media. We know what's going on out there. The morals crash, the perversions that are prevailing more and more, the evil being called good and the good being called evil, the women and children steering the ships, the personal and family shipwrecks, health challenges, financial frustrations, and then the unnecessary, but they are real. I understand how real these are. We allow ourselves to be hurt by following Paul and the King James Bible only. We allow ourselves to be hurt by standing up for the risen Savior. And what would that be? Well, that loneliness is one of the things. And as I was writing these things down, that's about the only one I could come up with is loneliness. We don't have our friends. We don't have our family very well. We don't have our church folks, our social crowd. We don't dare talk about this stuff in our jobs anymore, and the neighbors, they're certainly not interested. And we're not going to find any of this stuff in the news and the media, and the morals crash isn't going to stop. The perversions are going to continue to prevail. They have a little bit of a battle now with the government the way it's going, but evil was going to be called good still, more of it, and the good is more and more is going to be called evil. More and more women and children are going to steer the ships. More and more families are going to wreck. Personal lives are going to wreck. Our health is going to get worse. Our financial, we're getting closer and closer to the mark and interest and all the prices and things, you know. And I suppose we're going to just have to deal with that loneliness because we're not going to find a church to go to. And those of us on the website out there, we are all busy. We don't keep track a whole lot of each other. And, you know, I don't even know who's still with us and who's gone on to bigger and better websites or fancier preachers or deeper studies or whatever. But we know this, that we are now still in great times for us. And that's what this is about. But now, for us, because we know what is in that King James Bible. We know that is, we know what is in there that's to us. We know who to follow, and that's Paul. And we know, we not only believe this is what they all say, they start off with this, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, of course we believe that. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Well, of course we know that. So do they out there. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. We know that. They know that. After that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, that's Paul speaking there, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Well, you know, we believe that, they believe that, but the biggest change here is, I have to add in my words now, and, it's a big and, we study, learn, and try to follow those teachings of the now risen Christ, who taught Paul face to face, and who was chosen, called, we're not going to be chosen and called, you'll see here, to reveal his son in me. This is in Galatians. So he was called to reveal God's son in me, that's Paul, that I, meaning he, Paul, might preach the risen Christ among the heathen, that's us, the Gentiles. Galatians 1:16. Follow the notes or just hang on. So today, but now, we still have Paul available to us. And this is great. I don't think I've ever talked about this set of verses that much. Romans 15, verse 20. See, we know we see, and we know we understand. But look at this verse, these verses right here. Verse 20, chapter 15 of Romans. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. That's Paul. Not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Interesting statement there. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. See, and that was to us. That's to the Gentiles. That's to us. And he's speaking to those that, as is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And you know these, of course he's referring to the Old Testament. Of course he's referring to that crowd. But you know, when you realize that he's, that the risen teachings are not being spoken in the churches, the pastors are not speaking those things. So when we come along and preach the risen Christ, we're not building upon another man's foundation. Their foundation is built on the Jewish Jesus to the Jewish bunch, and that's not the foundation of salvation. That's not what the risen Christ, that is not a proper foundation. And you can go to the house built on the sand and the whole thing. So this is okay, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. See, that was us at one time. And the truth of Paul, the truth of the risen Savior came to us, and now we see. So he says, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. So, even to this day, Paul still can come to us. That's what it is. Now, we have to remind some people, they always think, you know, well, you're talking about Paul being your Savior. No, this is not about Paul. It's about the risen Savior. However, Paul is still our apostle and the only apostle, and those are still the only books to us. Those are Paul's books, and they are as inspired and preserved to this day as the rest of that Bible. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear. So Paul knew he had the truth. Paul knew that he had met with the Lord face to face. He'd seen that. And he says, for though I would desire to glory, that's his flesh, he says, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. He knew what the truth was going to do for him. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And I think Paul is a great man. He's not a great Christian, because he didn't suddenly walk the gospel talk, you know, that kind of thing. We know in Romans chapter 7, he had his struggles just like we do. But to me, he's a great man because he stayed with it. He went through all sorts of trials and tribulations, and he'd met with the Lord. Well, we meet with the Lord's words, the King James Bible. So it's kind of the same thing there, pretty much. We all say, well, if we would just see the Lord face to face, we'd follow. Well, we have his words face to face, so he's talked to us. So anyway, Paul is not the man of the hour. Christ is, the risen Savior is. But still, Paul is important, and he knew it. He could glory, but he'd be a fool if he did. He just said, listen, I just want anybody to think that I'm special. So Colossians chapter 1:26, this knowledge of the truth to us, but now, that's today, but now the knowledge of the truth that's to us is still available for us today. Colossians 1:26, here we go. Even the mystery, which had been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now remember, when Paul talks about saints, he was talking about the Jews too. Those are the saints. It was made manifest to them. If they just listened to him, they would have heard what they've been hoping for all those years. Even the mystery. And if you're new at this and you're not sure what the mystery is, it's in Ephesians chapter 3, 1-6. And in the younger, more my vim and vigor days, I would have gone to that from my bunny trail, which is why my sermons in those days are an hour to hour and a half long, because, you know, we checked it all out. I'm glad we did, because it had to be done. But now it says there is manifest to his saints. Okay, Romans chapter 16. I love these verses. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. We're speaking of now the knowledge of the truth is available for us today. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, he says, Paul, not John, not James, not Jude, not Matthew, not Mark, not Luke, according to Paul's gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, and I said that, I say this, I emphasize this all the time, it's the preaching of Jesus Christ, not according to the gospels to the Jews, but according to the revelation of the mystery, and that's Paul, Ephesians chapter 3, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, not the obedience of baptism. You've heard me say that before, too. When a pastor says, now you need to obey the Lord in baptism, I don't think so. Our obedience is faith, not water. Okay, let's keep going here. The knowledge of the truth is to us and made available for us. What else now? But now, Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. So we have that, the righteousness of God without the law. That's now, that's today. Wow, that's great. Now, in Romans chapter 6, or Romans chapter 7, verse 6, it says, but now are we delivered from the law. So you put that together with Romans 3:21, where the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, Romans 7:6, but now we are delivered from the law. Isn't that great? That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. And it's sad, it's hard, I understand it, but sometimes we as parents or even for ourselves tend to make Paul oldness of the letter still. We take Paul's teachings about the manner of life and we make that the law, the letter, the oldness of the letter. No, that's our direction. Those are our, should I say, suggestions? No, they're more than that, but it's not the law and it's not the letter. It's not the letter of the law. We should serve in newness of spirit. That's today, but now we are delivered from the law. We just delivered from the law. Folks that are frustrated and hate living the life of a Christian, according to Paul as such, relax. You know, it's not the law. Maybe in 5 years or 1 year, maybe you'll be able to get what you want to get done then. I mean, get over it and don't let it get you down. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So here we are with all these things going on, all this deception and religion and all these things going on, our families and friends. Listen, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. People say, well, you know, we're washed in the sins. Yes, we are, by the blood of Christ. That's true. And all those things they sing, but we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's a sermon by itself right there. Romans 6:22. But now, being made free from sin. See, people don't, they hear this, Jesus will set you free. In other words, you can keep living your crummy life, you can keep doing these crummy things, but he will set you free. He'll get you away from some of that stuff, you know, that kind of a thing, and that's all about the walk. No, he makes us free from sin. There's a change in us, not in our walk. That's up to us. That's always been up to us. We always have the free will and the choice, but he's made me free from sin. Today, in all the trials and tribulations you have, don't forget, you're made free from sin. You're delivered from the law. We have the righteousness of God now. It's been manifest to us. We're made nigh to Christ by the blood of Christ. And there's more to that in there as well, with the Jews and everything. And we're made free from sin and become servants to God. Even though we have to have a job and we find ourselves being servant to money, you know, and all that kind of a thing in our own flesh. But he's made us free from sin. We ought to be able to step up to the plate a little better now, confident that when we swing, something's going to happen. Let's keep going here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 and verse 20. Again, this is another totally different sermon situation here, where he says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Talking about our physical body, all the members we have. Those members are where God wants them. But now he goes on and uses that illustration to describe the local church, which means we are the local church. We are the members of one body. Again, that is another total sermon on its own here. Let's keep going here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We're looking at, but now, all the challenges we have today, but now. He says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I love that. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, where's the but now, okay? But now, well, Christ liveth in me. I live in the flesh, but now I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's his faith that's keeping me going. Now you take these modern Bibles and they'll change that. For now I live in the flesh, I live by my faith in the Son of God. Faith in. Which means when they lose their faith, they quit, then they no longer have the Son, that whole thing. So Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We didn't live by the faith of the Son of God before, but now we do. That's a spectacular verse. And they so destroy that by changing the of faith of the Son of God into faith in the Son of God. But that's what they do. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Talk a little bit about now that this but now thing. We have, as Christians, Paul tells us we have still some things we need to do in our life. We still need to be the Christian. So this manner of life that Paul teaches, so many Paul pastors ignore that part in their preaching. You've heard me say that before. Who wants to hear about this manner of life? You know, the do's and don'ts kind of a thing. And many of you remember my suicide series, there we go, I spit that out properly, where I knew we were going to get into Timothy and Titus, and I knew that was going to probably, who wants to hear that sort of a thing, but it had to be done. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now that doesn't mean we need to go back to the Beatitudes. That doesn't mean we need to go back to Leviticus and go back to the Ten Commandments. Those are never given to us. They were given to the Jews. Yes, Paul gives us 9 of them, but just note, he doesn't give us the remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We have a hard time getting over that. I don't. I never did like that. But, you know, walk as children of light, not children of the law, not children of the letter, but children of light. Now, here's a tough one. Let's do one of them here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Okay, so that's what he said. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters? For then must ye needs go out of the world. So he's telling us, listen, I can't, you know, you can't just stay away from the junk that's out there. You can't get away from it. You can move to Alaska, you can move to anywhere you want, and it's still going to be there, right, Stephen? Yes, it is. It's still there. Because you said, if you want to not company with the fornicators of this world, and it isn't just that crowd, it's the covetous, it's the extortioners, which, by the way, are the pastors in the churches, or with idolaters. See, if you're gonna stay away from those, you're gonna have to just get out of this world. He says, though, but now, see, now since we've got the risen Savior, since we've got a King James Bible, since we're trying to follow the risen Lord, he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater. Oh, look at that. He keeps going. Or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such an one, no, not to eat. Now, that little series, there's a couple more verses there. That deserves a sermon on its own, which I know I've got one out there somewhere. But that's something we have to keep in mind. We as Christians try so hard. We just don't want to be part of this world that's out there. But, you know, if we're going to get away from this world, and this is now more than ever before, it's as bad as it is, the only way we're going to get away from it is go to the moon, and that probably wouldn't even do it. Go to Mars. Be one of those that wants to go to Mars with Clintons. You know, I mean, whatever. But he says, but now, if any man is called a brother, that's one of us, see? So the pressure is on for us to still be the Christian we need to be. Romans chapter 7, Paul says, listen, I want to do the right thing, but when I want to do the right thing, I can't do the right thing. When I want to, you know, the whole thing. So yeah, there's still that. And yes, we are. It's not the law. It's the man. It's the dispensation of grace. We understand that. But Paul does tell us some things to do in our daily walk. So keep that in mind. If the brother is out there with a fornicator or covetous, well, that's pretty general. Or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. That kind of covers a lot of people, don't you suppose? He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. See, you know, Paul's not down here anymore, obviously. We don't see him anywhere. So he's absent. He's not here. We have his words. We have the Bible. That's good. But he does say, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, we're not looking at James. We're not trying to earn our salvation. We need to be the Christian. Fear of God gonna chastise you? No, we know better than that. And yet we realize that we're supposed to be the Christian. So it is important for us to act and be. And it's tough, isn't it, in this world? It's tough when you're around the family. It's tough at work. It's tough when you're talking with people. It's just tough. Our pride gets involved. It just goes on and on. But yet, and again, Paul says in Romans 7, check it out. He fought the same frustrations as we do. But he does say, work out your own salvation. You're saved? Now let's do something about it. And do it with fear and trembling. It's serious stuff. Remember, I can't remember, I'm just winging my thought here. Paul does tell us to be sober-minded. This is serious stuff we're dealing with. He does say in Colossians 3:8, here's a start. Then we won't get into any more of them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And let me ask, do you know how a woman can blaspheme God today? A Christian? Do you know how women blaspheme God? And do you know how men blaspheme God? And if you don't know that, don't be, you know, it's not what you think unless you've heard it before. There's just one thing that women can do that blasphemes God when you do it. And men, there's one thing that we do, and it blasphemes God when we do it. And if you don't know what it is, drop me an email if you're listening, and I will be glad to show it to you. And yes, we all do them, but we ought not. Okay, well, let's go on here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So contrary to those preachers who preach that God loves everybody, we ourselves should still have a decent testimony. a testimony that's based on Paul, not a testimony based on the Gospels, not a testimony based on the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes or 1st and 2nd Peter or whatever. You know, that's not our testimony. That's what they would like our testimony to be, but our testimony is supposed to be based on the teachings of Paul. And besides that, if we are wanting to do that, if we believe that and we seek to that stuff, we're supposed to mark each other, you and me, we're to mark each other as Paul-following Christians. Where now we're all hundreds of miles away, but hey, if you need to talk to somebody, I've got an email list a mile long. I've got some email folks that out there are in their older than I am years. And, you know, mark them. They're markable. They're talkable. There's something to talk to sometimes. We all get involved with it, but, you know, we're not around here anywhere. We can't all go out for pizza afterwards, or we can't go to, where'd we used to, El Sombrero, I think that's where we used to go for Mexican every Wednesday night. Boy, we had to stop doing that back in those days. Anyway, back to the subject here. So Paul says we should have a decent testimony based on his teachings, following the risen Savior, not the Jewish Savior. Okay, now he says, but now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, don't forget the whole gist of this sermon. It's but now, here we are today. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. And then it goes on. What I want you to see here is when Timothy, if Timothy were to come to you, if he shows up at your house and says, hi, I'm Timothy, or I'm Timotheus, whatever, and he's going to go back and he's going to tell Paul, you know what, Paul? Those folks, they still read about you. They still try to live like you say. They remember you, and they really want to see you and see us, that kind of a thing. And Paul says, you know what? I'm so glad to hear that. I really want to see them. So that's how it's supposed to. And Titus has the same thing. I forgot where that's at. I think it's close by as well. When Titus goes to see these folks, he's pleased. And the suicide series, Timothy and Titus tells us a lot of what we should or should not be doing, men, women. You know what? You have to rightly divide, Timothy. Some of those verses in there are written to women, ladies, females, and some of those verses in there are written to men, not to the ladies. So we have to be aware of those, and they're all written to us. But rightly dividing even goes beyond Paul. It goes to male, female, husband, wife. There's verses that are written to people in there. Titus chapter 2, sound doctrine. There's verses in there written to aged women, aged men, young men, that kind of a thing. That bunny trail there. But, you know, but now Timothy ought to go back and tell Paul, man, these folks are trying really hard to read Timothy and listen to what he said to Timothy. And Timothy, take that kind of a good report back to you. If your book of Timothy could open up and go to Paul with how you've been doing, what would it say? Same thing with the book of Titus. Well, let's finish this up here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. How are we doing for time here? 30 minutes just about. Well, that's pretty good for nowadays. His words to us to continue on. That's the whole gist of this sermon. But now, and let's continue on. He said, so in spite of all that we have had gone on, and now see, we're talking 7 years later than when I first preached this thing. We have had some things that have gone on in our lives. We have some things that are going on in our lives. And I'll tell you what, they're going to continue to go on. You know, things could go better, and maybe it will. Maybe somebody will come along and we'll get some help here, and everybody, those things can happen, no problem, but we know where it's going, we know where it's headed, and if Romans 11:22, I think it is, 11:22, we know they're not going to start loving to hear from Paul. People don't want to hear about the goodness of God. That's just going to get worse. Our day-to-day life has its ups and downs, doesn't it? A job, you finally got a job, you might lose a job, get another job. Get some income coming in. Something can happen. Yes, that's true. But we know from as far as the knowledge of the truth, it's just going further and further away. This world is going down faster than we can ever imagine. We know that. We see the mark just working itself, the tag, the number, the whole thing. It's all coming together so quick. No doubt. But to us, we need to continue. Here's what he says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's it. That challenges me. The spirit of fear, it's not from God. The sound mind, you got to stay in that book to keep that mind working. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. So we can't be ashamed of the risen Savior, because remember, the testimony of our Lord is not only greater, Gospels, Stephen, Paul, tribulation, his second coming, millennium. I'm not ashamed of any of that. It seems to me that pastors and people are ashamed of Paul during this time, the dispensation of grace. I'm not. So let's not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of Paul. And then he says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. By the way, we all have the same calling. Don't get into this. I've been called to be a preacher, missionary, evangelist, called to be a wife only, called to be a, you know, all the stuff that people, pastors go into. Called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I've got a sermon out there somewhere about we're all called to follow the risen Savior. That's our calling. And we're called to follow the risen Savior through Paul. That's our calling. That is a holy calling. That's our calling. This other stuff is just pastoral religious baloney. And then he says, to his own purpose of grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And that's Paul. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. That is Paul's job. He is our preacher, he is our apostle, and he is our teacher. For the which cause I also suffer these things. You know, got to remember, a lot of the reasons we suffer today, it's not because of the risen Savior. It's not because of Paul. It's not because of the King James Bible. We just made some stupid decisions way back in our days of religion, or we just made some dumb mistakes. Or is there a smart mistake? We have just made some dumb things. We've made stupid things happen, I guess, by just wrong decisions. You know, debt, health even. The food, I mean, it goes on. But just remember that for which cause, what's the cause? Because he's our preacher, apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles. That's why he suffers. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed about some of the dumb decisions you made in life? I am. I'm really ashamed of how I followed their Baptist religion for so many years. I never thought to check it out. I just read the individual verses that these good preachers preach. I fell for that for years. I'm ashamed of that. And I'm paying for it today. My family's probably going to pay for it forever, and a lot of other people, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that many of you are in the same boat. But he says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. We just got to get these things that because of the risen Savior, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now I want to sing that just like you do. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know, singing is not my bag. I'd rather play piano. If I had a piano here, I would have played that for you. So he says, but now for today, hold fast the form of sound words, as King James rightly divided the Bible, which thou hast heard of me. Paul is our teacher, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, not this gospel stuff out there. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. That's how we have to stand with that stuff today. That's where we are. But now, today, there's your most recent sermon. No video, like I said, but stand. Hold fast the form of sound words. Now, a little bonus PS here. We get all this done now. It says in Galatians 4:9, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So Paul asks us, by the way, why, after what you have learned over these years about Paul and the rightly divided King James Bible, why are you going back to that church where the guy never taught you that stuff? Why are you trying to go back to the law? Why are you trying to go back? Why do you want that bondage again? And there's more verses in there, too, that kind of detail that thing out. So it's a good question. And I'll tell you, from all the people I've seen it happen to, it can happen to any of us. And I know some good folks out there that it's happened to. And I know some folks that that's happened to, and they've come back and they said, hey, I'm sorry to be gone for so many years. I just got caught up in the world and I got out of it. I knew I had to get out of it. So it can happen to any of us. So it's a good question. So there you go. But now, 7 years later.